This is our prophecy service. We do this every year. We do this annually just to sort of exercise hearing the supernatural voice of God together. So I want you to turn to your left, your right, look somebody in the eye and say, "Listen up! God is talking. Shh, listen up." I want to do that every service, but prophecy service, listen up. And then I'll give you a warm-up question just to get your juices flowing, and then we'll just talk for a few minutes, and then I'm going to invite up some of the prophetic elders and ministry team, and they're just going to give prophetic words to people for the rest of the time. So here's your warm-up question. Think hard about this. This is kind of a question for veterans. What's something about God that you've learned from God? What's something that you've learned about God from God? Right, so I know most of what you know about God you've learned from me, because I'm a Christian superstar and, you know, icon of all things Christian. But and of course we learn a lot about God from Scripture, and we learn about God from each other. What's something that you learned about God directly from God? I'm going to give you 8 seconds to think about it, and then I'll take some of your answers. All right, let me hear it. Who's that, Brian?
He's deeply passionate about us.
He's deeply passionate about us. And you learn that directly from the Lord. There's an interesting story there. All right, what else?
He keeps his promises.
He keeps his promises. And you've learned that directly from God, presumably because he kept some promises he made to you. That's interesting. What was it? John. He's funny. He's funny. Okay.
He's full of surprises.
God is full of surprises. That's something about God you've learned from God. Yes. It's also a polite way to say it. He's full of surprises. In other words, he doesn't do what I want him to do. Whatever works. Mind.
He's more interested in who I am than what I do.
He's more interested in who you are than what you do. That's interesting. That's interesting. Was it Gigi?
In line with her.
Same. You're copying Mindy. Yeah, he's not after your sacrifices or the things that you do for him. He's just after your heart. It's a relationship. Samuel.
I'm devoted to my kids because he's devoted to me.
Ah, okay, so that's interesting. Samuel's devoted to his kids because God is devoted to him. Yeah, so that's an interesting conversation. Mike.
He's patient with me, so I need to be patient with him.
He's patient with you, so you need to be patient with him. I like that because, you know, it's really honest. It's like, who needs to be patient with God? God is perfect. Well, if you've been following God for a long time, you know that he doesn't work on your timeline and needs to be corrected. Yeah. Yeah. He wants us to have freedom of choice. That sounds really good. I like that. This is something I've learned directly from God as well. He wants us to have freedom of choice. I like that, except when I need him to tell me what to do and he doesn't. Like, what's the right answer? What's the right choice? What should I do here? And he's like, I want you to have freedom of choice. And I'm like, shut up! Which is not a good thing to say to God. I'm just telling you right now. Ryan.
He's good.
He's good. All right. Well, all the time I hear. Yeah. Yes?
He's called me worthy.
He's called you worthy. So that's interesting. So you've had conversations with God in which he's made it clear to you that you don't have to worry about measuring up, languishing in shame or anything like that. I think that's probably a pretty common experience. One more. Who's got the best one? Yeah,
He really does restore the broken places.
He really does restore the broken places. That's a great response, right? Because it's like, it's not he restores the broken places. Like, no. He really does restore the broken places. And that's the sort of emphasis that you only learn with experience, right? Which is great. So we could probably go on all morning with this exercise. I ask it because I'm always interested to know what the Lord is saying to you guys. But I also ask it in order to just model that the Lord is always saying stuff. He's a chatty guy, even though as a holy being, he's introverted. Like all the great ones. Like all the great wives. Indeed. He's speaking a lot, and you know, the basic premise of listening to the voice of God is that if God is talking, it's rude not to listen, right? It is improper. One of the things I've learned from God directly recently is that, you know, he's really good, but he can also be very strict, which is not a comfortable lesson for me to learn at all. I learned that recently, but in reflecting on it, I realized that this is something that he says to me periodically over the years. I remember this walk I had with God, this conversational walk. It wasn't remarkable because anything happened. It was just remarkable because I remember the conversation so discreetly. I had just graduated from college. I was maybe 23 at the time or something like that. And I lived in this really violent neighborhood in the San Francisco area, super violent. And it was right against the southern tip of San Francisco Bay, where like nobody went. And there was a strip of land between the neighborhood where I lived and the bay that we called the dikes, because it was engineered a little bit to control flooding dikes out there. And the dikes was where all the, essentially the gangbangers in the neighborhood dumped the dead bodies. And so nobody ever went there. And so it was great for me because I would do my prayer times walking around there. And it's like you're in this really intense urban area, but if you went out there, you could be alone. It was like a park that nobody ever went to because they were afraid of getting killed. Which just tells you all sorts of things about how I lived and my personality and everything else. So I was out there having a quiet time, walking around right on the bay, the only section of San Francisco Bay that you can walk without anybody around, and just listening to the Lord. And what I was doing is that I was complaining to God in a really worshipful way. I was complaining to God because he was not acting on my timeline, as somebody pointed out, and he had made some promises to me that he had not fulfilled yet, just, you know, He just dropped the ball, is what I'm saying. And I was talking to him about this. And I remember he interjected, and then he talked to me for a long time. Usually when the Lord says something, I might get a pulse or a sentence or a vision that I think is really crisp. But he had like this 10-minute conversation where he was like just soliloquying. He was just like monologuing with me. And what he did is he told me the story of Abraham, and which I knew very well, and so it seemed a bit over the top. And how, you know, God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a son, and then they jumped the gun, and Abraham produced a son with the wrong woman. And, you know, if you don't know that story, read it sometime. And then eventually it came to pass, but it took decades, you know, for the Lord to fulfill all the promises. And then I'm at the end of it, he stopped talking. Very strange prayer time. And then I said, I know the story, Lord. Why are you telling me this? And he said, here's what I want you to know. My promises to you are still my promises. And I'll never forget that line. Because no matter what the Lord has promised to me, he's saying that I need to be submitted to him every step of the way, right? The Lord doesn't sign the sort of contracts that give me legal authority over God, right? He signs contracts with himself. He makes promises, not so that he's beholden to me, but so that he can display his honor and his integrity to me. And he's been saying similar things. It's like, yeah, I told you to do this, but you better check in with me daily. It's that sort of thing to make sure that I'm still in submission to him. If you're hearing from God, you're serious about God. That's a truism. If you have a reply to my question today, hey, what's something about God that you've learned directly from God, and you have a reply, then I know that you're serious about God because you're listening to him in real time. you expect him to be present and active in your life. And that's like 80% of it. That's 80% of discipleship right there. If you can hear from God. It doesn't mean it's always easy. It doesn't mean you always hear what you want, right? It doesn't mean that from time to time you don't need help from your brothers and sisters to hear for you, to discern, to confirm what you think you might be hearing, that sort of thing. But it does mean that you're serious about God. And one of the reasons that we do these prophecy services where we hear from God together is to cultivate that seriousness, that we serve a living God who speaks all the time and who directs our life in real time. And that is living. That's living. It's not just believing. That's the life of try, right? That's the life of active faith. That's why we do this thing. We also do it because it's New Year's, and it's useful to get direction or affirmation in the new year, because January is when we typically spend a little time thinking about how to engineer the upcoming year. One of the things that I did the past couple of weeks is I went through, I have a little journal that I keep. I'm not a big journaler. I'm not a guy that like writes things down every day. Oh, this is what happened in my life. This is how I'm feeling today. It's like, oh, who's got patience for that? but I make bullet points and sketches and things like that, and little highlight things that I think the Lord told me. So I reviewed stuff from the past year or two. It's like things that I'm sure God said to me. Insofar as I'm ever sure about anything in my fallen state. And I came up with like, you know, five things that I know the Lord has told me for sure. And I feel like, you know, that's the way to start. I'm just telling you that story to illustrate how you might go through life. It's like, okay, well, what are the revelations, what are the orders from God that I'm adhering to most right now in my life? That's a pretty good way to live, actually. That keeps you serious about your conversation with God, the Holy Spirit. So that's what I do. It's a sort of definitive exercise. My wife, who, as you saw earlier, is a helpful wife, keeps me honest. She's always saying to me, Jordan, you know, the bedrock of a relationship is communication, right? To which I respond, what? But she says it frequently enough that I've heard and that I've remembered. And the exercise of communication is one that God is serious about. And if you participate in it, you realize not just that you're serious about God, but that God is serious about you. If the God of the universe bothers to say something to you, just think about that. Just think about that. It demonstrates how serious a being you are. Yeah? Come on, get to me a serious amen.
Amen.
It was coming. We live in the best age in world history. We live in the age of the Holy Spirit. After the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, there's a prophecy, one of my favorite prophecies in the Bible, from the second chapter of Joel. And this prophet Joel, who lived about 500 years before Jesus, was talking about when the Holy Spirit was going to come upon the church, like he did in Acts chapter 2, and make his presence and his miracle-working power available to anybody who pressed into Christ to receive the Spirit. And my favorite part of the prophecy goes like this, Joel 2:28. And afterward, after the Holy Spirit is made accessible to everyone, and afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, not just a few special miracle-working prophet hero dudes per generation, which is what it was in the Old Testament. When the Holy Spirit came on somebody, it was a remarkable thing. But God is telling his people through this prophecy, there will come a day when I will make that power, my presence, available to all people. You can check to see if you're included. Are you a people? And then he goes on to say, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Prophesy. And so the hallmark of the age of the Holy Spirit is everybody gets to hear from God for himself or herself. And in a very patriarchal culture, I like it that God went out of his way to say, your sons and daughters we'll hear from the Lord. So he's really emphasizing all people, and the occasional donkey, as the stories turned out, if you know the story of Balaam. Your old men will dream dreams, and young men will see visions. Male, female, old, and young. Pretty much includes everybody. So who gets to hear from God?
Everybody.
Yeah, really simple, really straightforward. That's a prophecy that you don't really need to interpret. So you'll notice that if you come to Blue Water regularly, almost every Sunday we make space for God to say something to someone, right? We just pause, we create a little space because we expect God to speak in real time, not just through me and my sermons, as great as they are. Is probably more important to hear the message that the living God has for you, serious Christian. And a big reason why we do these prophecies service as well. We want to learn from God. We want to learn about God from God. That's a great way. We also want to get some direction. And occasionally, like me, you need a little correction. You need God to say, yeah, I promise that. However, my promises to you still belong to me. Make sure that you stay submitted and attentive. So here's how it's going to work. I'm going to call up some, you know, like prophetic elder type people, people that are really good at hearing the voice of the Lord, and they're going to call out individuals in the crowd. I might do one or two myself. And it would be helpful if they call you out if you stand up, provided you're not injured. If it's an ACL that keeps you injured, I've got a good track record this week. We'll heal that, and then you can receive your prophetic word. And they're going to share with you what they think God has said to them for you. So we call that prophetic ministry. And if they're wrong, then you say, nope, because they're not perfect. Some of them far less perfect than others, let me tell you. But they're pretty good. Right? And as in all ministry, we get better with practice, right? You have to practice listening to the Lord, and you have to practice prophesying with the Lord. So you're entitled to reject it, but often we find that it's super, super helpful. They'll tell you what they feel like they received from the Lord. They'll try to interpret it, because often the Lord speaks in shorthand or speaks symbolically, or there's a little mystery to it. I think he does it that way so that we have to incline forward and to understand it, or we have to ask him follow-on questions, because I find that the Lord doesn't just want to give information. He wants to cultivate relationship.
Yeah.
So you can see a little bit of that. But they'll try to tell you what they think it means and maybe give you an application point. Like, hey, this is how you might use it in your life. And that itself can be revelatory. And they'll try to do that with faith. Anything received in faith tends to be multiplicative in your life. Got it?
Yeah.
All right. Let's have the prophetic elders come forward. If you're the usual suspects, you can come on forward. We will start. You want to go first? John? Yeah, John, go first.
Okay. Let's see. Where to start? This woman right here with... in the blue and glasses. Do you mind standing up? I really felt like you have a strong gift for two things. One is kind of seeing the mess, and second, fixing the mess. And I felt like in this season, something that's really important is not focusing on the mess, but getting things plugged in and getting people plugged in. You're really good at plugging in people. You're really good at making connections. You're also good at something called administration, which is like, oh, well, this thing could help, and this is what needs to happen next. Don't focus on the issue, whatever issues are coming your way with people, with messy people. Focus on plugging them in. Get them into a small group with you. Get them into a church. And then kind of the tangle and the mess will solve itself. But you're very good at both of those things. Of plugging people in, and this season will be one of, I think there will be greater power and greater movement in your life and others as you like kind of avoid looking at what the issue is. The issue, I think, for this coming year when you've run into people is getting them in relationship with God and with others.
Hmm.
Yeah. Does that...
I think your husband needs to stand too, because I think this is on both of you guys.
Is this the issue?
So there's a
I like
to tag
her.
On what John's saying about gathering. You guys have like a gift and ability, and so I just want to bless you. But I think there's a priestly thing coming to you guys. So, you know, a lot of what is happening in prayer behind the scenes here is we're asking God to like step in and fill roles. You know, we need leaders. We, you know, Jesus even calls us to this, you know, like to pray for the Lord of the harvest. So if y'all could just reach out your hand, we want to bless them. God, we just pray that you would give them dreams and visions. We pray that you would give them power from on high. Let them see things they're not supposed to see. Give them insights into other people's lives as they're gathering and make a way where there is no way, God. Things that they see this person or this thing, the situation that's impossible, God, let them see it come to reality. Amen.
For them.
Not done. The moment you stood up, I heard Holy Spirit say, restorer. And have you ever seen one of those two restoration videos? Where they take one of these old rusty tools and they like clean off all the lime scale. And you've seen those videos before? One of the things that stood out to me in connection with that is most of these folks have a process to how they do it. They're like, okay, start here, take off all the old hardware, clean it back up. And what I felt was significant about it as it connected to you was that you actually get to teach people how to do this. Like to look at, it's like, no, that's just broken. You just need to clean this part off. There's nothing wrong with the hardware, except it just hasn't been used and it hasn't been tended. I feel like you're actually gonna start to disciple people in helping them to recognize and see like, no, just clean that off, do this. And so I feel like you're supposed to start to lay hands on people and be like, yo, come with me into this restoration, this broken thing, and we're gonna do this together. So I think you actually might have somebody in mind already that you're supposed to like disciple into this. Yeah, just grab them, just mom them and dad them. Just like, hey, come with me.
And then I have a word for the problem husband.
Words, I hope.
You are this unusual combination of like creative and artistic and very, very practical and like engineering type thing. It's a broad palette of things that help you create and to build. And you will never be happy unless you're building something. You'll never be happy unless you're on to the new thing. And then I think the Lord is saying to you guys, like the place where you have been, the place where you've been doing life is not the place where you are, where you will be, right? You're making the shift. And that is appropriate to the Lord's calendar, but it's also appropriate to you and your spirit and your ministry. Like you have to build the next thing. You have to. And so you are. You're right? And this is, I'm just confirming stuff. And I see like a plumbing joint, a T-joint. So you got a pipe going this way and another pipe coming off of it. And it's like the Lord saying things cannot just flow in one direction, right? Like you need always additional flow. You need to be at the nexes, at the intersections in life. You'll never just do one thing, right? You'll never just do like one thing vocationally. You'll never just do like one thing in ministry. Is that making sense to you? Yeah, is that confirming what's going on, the decisions that you're making? All right, that's cool. I fixed them. Man, do you got someone else?
Right behind in the orange shirt, gentleman. Yeah, would you mind standing up?
Yes.
Hi.
Oh, yeah.
I got the colors like pink and red really bright next to each other. I feel like in particular, there's somebody who you're really close to, relationship, probably a family member. Maybe you have children, son, daughter? Okay. Okay. I feel like maybe it's that relationship, maybe another one, but there's somebody you really love who also makes you super angry, that there's a lot of both love and anger there. Is that true? Okay, all right. In particular for you. Like, that's true of a lot of us, but in particular for you. And just to let them know, like, no, I'm angry with you because I love you so much, that there could be some forgiveness there, there could be some healing there. Let them know, like, it's because I love you. That's why that makes me angry.
It's just good wisdom.
Well, the thing is, I've died before. I've been in a very, very bad drowning accident.
That's why I have all the scars. Yeah, my face was put back on.
So you're used to restoration. You're used to recovery.
You know, when I left, it was so peaceful. It was so beautiful. And I was kind of upset at him for sending me back.
Yeah, they come back and go to work, too.
The hardest part was coming back.
Yeah.
I think you want to call my name.
Yeah.
But
the piece is still out there, bro.
Oh, yeah.
And you brought some of it back with you. Let's just pray. So I just pray for this anointing from beyond, right? To flow actively through you and to others who need it, right? You don't come back with protest. You come back with authority and gifts.
Amen.
Gifts to share. Gifts in your train, in Jesus' name. Yeah, good one. I think you get a painting.
I don't know. I'm switching. I'm not done. So weird. I got 4 words today. So they're all really sketchy and in process, but because you went, I'm giving you some too. What's your name?
Ray.
Ray Kaolana. Kaolana.
Yeah. Kaola, yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Oh, bless you, man. Okay, so my word for you, this is super simple, and it kind of relates to some other images I've done, but the word, the important part, I think, is that I felt like an action step for you was that dance is restorative to you. That if you dance, it brings freedom and restoration to yourself and others. There's also a part of it that had to do with, like, partner dance. So this might actually have to do similar with, like, what Mindy was talking about, like when you partner with people. And there's an aspect of it when you're partner dancing where even though you're the man and you're the lead, you do all the flourishes and the moves, you also sometimes go backwards. You walk backwards. And the other person kind of has to watch your back and, like, make sure you don't run into anyone. You know, so I think there was an element of that in it for you. So, like, both physical dance, just releasing this restoration for you, but also in that partnering and relationship too. So bless you with that,
amen.
Man.
And
yeah.
Amen.
Bless you, man.
Give him the painting.
Yeah, come up afterward, and I'll pray more for you.
Let's keep it moving, y'all. John's going.
Okay, I'm going to try something old school here, so hopefully I don't get in trouble with Jordan. So we're going to try a couple things here. Which ones? So I had like 5 dreams this week.
Yeah.
So I wrote them down, and I'm asking God for specifics, but I really don't want to guess. I don't want to be like, I think it's this person, so I'm just going to call you out, and I need your help to respond if it's you. If it's not, then I got the fail right up front.
Okay? So you're reading a dream and somebody is supposed to claim
it?
I'm
not going to get into too much detail unless somebody responds. How's that? Okay,
all right.
So we're just going to try.
Go
this,
quick.
All right? So, one, your name is Jim or James, and you have the middle name David, and you're wrestling with God.
Well, that's so we'll just start fairly with that. Specific.
Yeah.
James, and you're wrestling with God.
Either Jim or James.
Yeah.
David. Could be second service, but... Your son?
Let's go.
I'll meet with him later. Can I try another? Can I try another one? Actually, I think this is for a specific person, so this we'll try this. This is a better fail. You in the green shirt, if you don't mind standing. My name's John. I don't know your name. Aiden. Eden. Keith. Okay.
H.
Keith.
Keith.
Keith. I didn't get that name, so. okay, so I don't know if you're in the finance industry, but I had a large number in front of me. I think it relates to you. It was $5.5 million, and I don't know if there's some project.
Just claim it.
Okay. I don't know if you're going after something or you're asking for some doors to open, and that's my first test right there. So, yep.
I'm not in finance, but there is some work I'd like to get with my wife.
There's some work that you're trying to get into with your wife? Okay.
Like a building purchase.
Purchase, okay. Well, it relates. The amount may change and increase, so we'll move forward.
Go quick, John.
I'm sorry, I'm slow, man.
Oh, I thought you were going to read him the dream or
no,
something.
No, it's... that's just the amount. The amount was essentially, you're over your head in debt. But the Lord, in the process of moving forward, you're over your head in debt. The Lord, he doesn't mind numbers. They're just numbers. It just gets you from point A to point B. It doesn't matter what the number is. I feel like in the middle of your weakness is where God's power and strength is going to be met. And I want to encourage you to push forward in this situation that you're asking. If there's no's, I'm going to ask God right now to change them to yeses. The people that you need to come alongside you to make this happen, I'm going to ask God right now that he would change things and give you vision from heaven so that when you see it, it becomes more clear. You don't see all the obstacles. You see the possibilities of what God's going to do. So even in this process of what you're looking at in reference to building project, whatever it is, the Lord knows the number of what you're facing. I just bless it in Jesus' name. I'd ask that God would pour the resources of heaven out for you so there wouldn't be any more hesitation, no more doubt, that God would give you great courage in that process.
Amen. How about Janelle, you got one? We haven't heard from Janelle yet.
Okay, same area. I think that's, I don't know. It's a hot
you guys
right
missed
now.
Out.
So the blonde woman in the blue dress with white flowers. What is your name?
Kirsten.
Okay. Kirsten, I got a picture of a beautiful stream with like the sun sparkling off of it. And the verse that came with that was Deuteronomy 8:6-7. You shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and the hills. So I felt like that was a promise for this coming season, like immediately, that you're going to enter a season of reward and restoration for all the obedience that you had over many years. And I felt specifically this was restoration of family relationships. So there might be some close family relationships that you've kind of like released to God or kind of washed your hands of because you couldn't do anything else. And now God's going to start bringing those relationships back into your life. And so the encouragement or the next step for you is to kind of have some hope and openness as those people start coming back in, to not be scared or like put up walls or like be fearful in any way, but just to accept that reward for all the time that you put in obeying God. So hope that blesses you.
You got another one? Okay. Courtney?
Well, I wanted to follow up on Heath real quick. Heath, I feel like the Lord is speaking the name of Jacob over you and how, you remember the story about Jacob wrestling with God? So the story is like Jacob was kind of inheriting his blessings through like manipulation a little bit before that moment. And he persevered through that wrestling and that encounter with the Lord. And after that, there was some transformation. The Lord kind of broke stuff off of him and moved him into a new season of true blessing. So I think you're walking into a new season of true blessing that the Lord's going to pour into your life. I think you've been in a season of wrestling with the Lord, which has given you some like superhuman strength to accomplish things that you may not have necessarily been able to on your own. But the Lord's going to bring you into that season of transformation now and true blessing in your life. Okay, so just bless you with that. This is for sister in front of Kaylee. Sorry. Yep. Oh, good. Okay. So we have a few. Okay. What's your name?
Rachel.
Okay, awesome. The Lord is just speaking to me for you that, you know the verse, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, in Hosea? So I think you've lived a life of sacrifice. And I think you've sacrificed yourself in ways through that process. So mercy is more like compassion and empathy for a person. And I think he wants you to turn that towards yourself. I think you've lived a life of giving up a lot. And he said, cut it out. Like, done with the sacrifice. Quit the sacrifice.
I want that.
Mercy. Mercy, right? And so he just wants to sing a song of mercy over you. But I think Mindy has more. Yeah.
Vern has some too. So, but I think this was for you. And who'd you come with? Is it your husband?
You.
Yeah. I just feel calling over you guys for kids ministry, just for like playfulness. Just okay, maybe not. But your face is saying no. But this is this idea of like you're very playful people. You approach things with playfulness, and so that's the kind of people who are really useful in kids ministry, who can play. And so, just maybe try it out.
Yeah, I agree. But I, so yeah, I saw you guys together. I think that, I didn't catch your names. What's your name that's standing? Rachel?
Cameron.
Okay, so Rachel, I feel like that you have the gift of faith and like hope, like you can see the potential for like how things could work out. And then Cameron, I feel like that you have the gift of discernment, and I appreciate this gift of like a little healthy skepticism in there when you're looking out on things. And then what, and I, it's interesting because what I noticed first was that I thought you guys were called to some sort of ministry with kids, not necessarily like Sunday school, but there's something unique about you guys of what you can love and impart to kids. And I don't know if it's like one or two kids that get adopted or fostered or something into your family, or if it's some sort of specific mentoring relationship, or if it's something like bigger. But it wasn't necessarily the picture of Sunday school, but maybe that's where you start or experiment with some things. I'm not totally sure, but something of God calling you towards that. But what I saw was that you had the gift of hope, you had the gift of discernment and some healthy skepticism of like, wait a minute, how should we do this? And then I saw a picture of you guys in a boat together, and it was like not totally paddling in the same way all the time, right? It was kind of like different sides. So I felt like that God wanted to do something with unifying your guys' gifts and creating trust between each other, in like you being able to trust his gift and him being able to trust her gift, and you know, like you guys being able to, it's like you have these different perspectives, but with God coming in and bringing some unity, it aligns to the point in the horizon that you're going to, and then it's really powerful how you guys get there. So anyway, I just want to confirm, I think it does have something to do with kids. I think you're both uniquely gifted in powerful ways for the Lord, and he wants to work with you guys or like help you kind of like sink it and unify in it.
In the black shirt.
Thanks, guys.
Arise, fine sir. What's your name?
Crew.
So I heard the Holy Spirit say, tip of the spear. And immediately I thought, man, there's a grace on you to pioneer things, like to start things, to press into places that people are scared of or that no one's ever touched before, and to transform them into what, transform them from what's broken into kingdom. But the sense that I got is that I'm probably not the first person who's ever told you this, and you've actually maybe not taken some of the prophetic words you've received seriously. It's like, oh, that's cool. All right. I was like, oh, that's a good word. Is that true? I'm not the first dude to prophesy over you about the calling on your life. Okay. There are some of the words that people speak over you that they're just going to happen, and it doesn't matter what you do. But there are some things that you're supposed to take to the bank. Like, God, you gave me this word. This is what you said to me. All right, I'm cashing this one in, right? And so I wanna provoke you to even start going back over some of the words that have been spoken to you and start to lean into them to see if you can get a return on them just by your attention to them, okay? We're told like, yo, don't test God, you know, don't test him. But when he promises something to you, when he says that he's going to do something, that testing means like, okay, God, you said it. You said it. All right. Bless you, man.
Get him.
Well, also, so,
let me just say preemptively, we're down to the last 5 minutes. So everybody gets about 30 seconds.
All right, I saw a code, like green code, like in the Matrix, and I feel like God wants to equip you, but you're going to have to learn, you have to work at the code, and it might also be programming. All right.
It's for, I assume you're a whole family, so could you all stand? There's a lot spoken for your whole family, and you're a family of promise. And the main thing is that as you, I feel like God's going to ask you to stretch yourself, stretch the limits of your family, take more in. You guys are maybe going to be gathering some people, the youth, and it's going to work. What feels like we're already too stretched, I see your tent expanding. It's going to work.
Amen.
And for you at the end, you have a real gift for actually like this quiet faith. I see you like putting on worship music. And I see just other youth are kind of around these smoldering fires of lies. And you're lighting that little fire of faith, that little candle of worship. It's powerful. The light of Jesus is powerful in the world. And keep doing it, right? Keep your worship. Keep doing that. Don't worry about all this nonsense in the world that other kids are doing. People are going to be gathered into the real fire. And you have something in you like Elijah who like, you know, at some point later, there's going to be like great fires and you're going to be throwing down. You're going to be, there's going to be people saying, no, this way is the right way. And you're going to be like soaking the fire pit and the fire of God will come. And there's just a lot of promise on you as a family. So we just bless that in Jesus' name.
Crew, one more. Also not done, all sketches. This bottom left one is, bottom right one is for you. It reminded me of sort of the staff, that symbol that's for medical, for doctors. It's also based on Moses' staff that he saved everyone from the snakes with, right? So there was a bronze snake wrapped around a rod and cured everyone. So I felt like there's a calling in your life as a healer. Secondly, there's this organic part and this geometric part, and I think the geometric part is supposed to look like a four, so I think 4 years is significant. I'm not saying you'll go through medical school within 4 years, but there's something about 4 years that's significant. So I'd be happy to pray over you as a healer as well. Bless you.
Mine's quick. I heard the phrase refund, 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 and the person is kind of on the brink of... You're in despair, and there's things happening that you need God's help with. I'm not going to go into details. I'll be up here later. You can pray. I'll pray with you. But there's a wrestle happening, and I believe that there's a restoration. If you're willing to step up and get prayer about this, God will meet you today. Like, don't miss the opportunity. That's it.
Janelle?
A quick one for the young man between Johnny and Joanne.
Yes!
Is that your brother, Joanne? Hi. No, your friend.
Okay. Me too.
Anyway, sorry, what's your name? What is it? Makana. Okay, so I had this, the word I got for you was that you feel very pulled in two directions, which is career versus God. And you feel like those things are totally opposite and you don't know how to like do both. So you're trying to like figure out which one to do first. And I saw this lightning strike down the middle of you. And for me, that represented like God has a passion that he's igniting in you that's going to unite both those things. And I felt like maybe it has something to do with kids, maybe teaching. But that's the thing you're to pursue is the passion, not like solely God, solely career, but pursue the passion and both those things are going to come together. And the passion might be something that you're not particularly good at yet or something that you can't see making money yet. But still, just go straight after that thing. So hopefully that makes sense.
And I think Karen has one for Makana.
Get him.
Step inside.
I have a sketch about you needing to go to either a dog shelter or the Humane Society or a shelter to spend some time there. But you're going to meet somebody there, possibly. So it's just a direct action step that I think you need to take. And it might not only have to do with lost dogs, but also some people. It's kind of an urban scene here. So,
Yeah, not done with you yet.
Dogs are the best Christians.
So the sense that I get is that God has an encounter for you, like a meeting where it's just going to be you and him, either on a mountainside, your bedroom, something, but that he's wanting to reveal to you that a bunch of these folks in here, we're not crazy, that he's for real, and he's worth you giving your life to, right? And so I almost feel like you get a chance to just stand with him and throw down the gauntlet. Like, look, if you're for real, show me something. Like, I need to know that the decision I'm trying to make, that there's fruit in it in giving it to you, right? So Holy Spirit, what do you want? What else is there, Holy Spirit, that you want me to say about this? Is there a place that you really enjoy just like going to be by yourself or going to just like if you're needing to decompress that you like going to?
Just home.
That'll work. So when you go home, I want you to just quiet everything down, mute the phone, everything like that, and ask him to show himself to you. God, would you reveal yourself to me? Would you speak to me? And then write down what he says.
right.
Are we out of time?
Rapid fire.
Can I just, the woman behind Albert, if you could just, Albert, can you just let her know who she is? Thank you. Can you come up and pray? I wanted to give you a word, but I'll give it to you after if that's okay. And then just, Dad, I wanted to tell you the Lord's speaking righteousness and justice over you. And so I think what that means is it's a flag for you to make decisions. So he wants you to follow justice in this season. So when you are confronted with decisions, you follow the path of justice. I think you, like, both have flown through you. Flowed through you, sorry. And I think justice, you're in a season of justice. So when there's two choices, it's the one with the most justice for you. Okay.
Mike, I had a word for you that as you make decisions about where to go, that part of the key of not feeling stretched too thin is the ability to call a failed experiment a failed experiment and then just move on to the next one. Because I see the Lord's had you in a bit of a lab. It's like, yeah, it's great. I mean, that's part of moving fast.
Quick one, just if you lost your phone or wallet this week, okay, and it has not been recovered, I want to pray for you. I'll go into details later.
The young woman, or the woman in the teal shirt, the light seafoam green, yeah, in front of Kaylee there. No, sorry, behind you.
Oh, right here.
Yeah, right there, yeah. Yeah, so just an encouragement just to break out of your shell. I just saw you, it was like a peanut in a shell, just to kind of have fearlessness to come out and reveal yourself to people. There is wisdom inside you, there is this goodness inside you that other people want to get at, but it's encased in this kind of hard shell. So break down some walls, just fearlessness in Jesus' name.
All right, so I know they all have more words, and so... What they're going to do is, when we dismiss in a minute, they're going to run out into the crowd and tackle some of you and politely and maybe share a word with you and pray for you for 90 seconds because we can't do them all. Because like I said at the outset, God is a chatty God. And really what we're doing here is trying to energize your own personal conversation with the living Lord. And for sure, he is not going to leave you without direction and without comfort and without wisdom in this life. If you didn't get a word and you need one, the prayer ministry team is going to come up here as usual and array themselves across the front here in a moment, and they'd be happy to pray for you, and the Lord will either speak to them for you or the Lord will just speak to you. And this is what we do, right? This is what it means to follow Jesus in the age of the Holy Spirit. We're not meant to walk alone. We are simply meant to walk in faith. It's different, right? You understand? We're not meant to walk apart from God. We're just meant to walk in faith. We'll know nothing, certainly, but we'll have all the guidance that we need. Do you believe that's true? And if you believe it's true, please exercise the listening part and give people a chance to exercise it on your behalf. You guys are released to go hunt down people that need the words from you. And can I have the prayer ministers come up front, please? Those who are on the ministry team today. You can approach any of these guys that are walking out there, and they'll be happy to give a word to you as well. And can we stand for dismissal, please?